Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
For as much as we think we've got an edge on it, really the fact of the matter is we're behind the curve. Well, obviously, there's more Prozac and Wellbutrin and mind-altering drugs and all sorts of vices and this and that. The other thing, substituting for the mechanisms inherent within us that can get us truly to where we want to go. Really, it is kind of the natural high that trumps the rest of it. But what does that mean to you Monday morning? You can sit there and listen to a radio show and say, this is interesting. But you've got to make time, you see. And time is difficult. Because when you have to set aside time, you have to consider the things you're not going to do, that you have to do, that are so important to do. And if you don't do them well, then you're not going to get it done. And then all hell will break loose and you'll die and explode into a million pieces in the stratosphere. And no one will ever hear from you again. You go into a panic zone when somebody says you need to make that time for yourself. Well, what I'm here to tell you is there's the payoff for that, and that's efficiency. You really want to know where the scam is? It's denying people the understanding that the payoff for making time to produce endorphins, the payoff is more efficiency. You don't need more time. You need more efficiency. You need more time because you're not efficient. I know. This is all common sense. What do you have to waste a Saturday morning for listening to me blab about what you already know? No. You don't know. Because if you knew, you'd make the choices. Yeah, I know. No, you don't know. I'm telling you, you don't know. You really think you do. You'll say you do in a calm moment, and then you'll go right out again and hurt yourself. And that's what you do too often. Now, I could get into some highfalutin chemical lingo about some new mechanism in the body that we haven't discussed yet and how you've got to just know all about that to engage it and take the necessary herb and cleanse for it, and your life will work out happily ever after. And we can just continue to have this lie between us. But as you know, as my regular audience knows, I'm not going to do that. Because if you don't understand A, you're never going to be able to utilize B. Herbs, cleanses, the things you do for your health, you have to make time. And in your mind, time means loss of efficiency. And that's why we'll be having this conversation till eternity, for eternity. You got to look at this more closely. You got to think about efficiency. You know that book, that guy that wrote The 4-Hour Work Week? Get that book. The 4-Hour Work Week. You got to get that book. That is a thought. You don't need 80 hours a week. You don't need 40, and then because you're a hardworking guy and you're going to make it happen in your life, you're going to work 60. No, you're going to take that 40 and cut it to 20. It's called efficiency. All scientists work with efficiency. The whole world works on the side of efficiency, and it has nothing to do with more time. So then why would something so important as human health be so contingent on the fact that you don't have time? When nobody organizes anything on time, they organize it around efficiency. How about you organize you around efficiency? How about that? All right, look, I get paid here to sit and think about these things. So if it hasn't occurred to you, that's okay. So pat yourself on the back for giving the show a whirl. Because just like anybody that does something like this, I think about it from different angles. You get to the track, you get to the gym, you get to the cleanse, you get to wherever you're going to do something for your health. And what you want is efficiency. Here's rule one. You will not have efficiency until you get really good at it. That's the payoff. But what you do, what people do, is put themselves in these unfair positions, and that's not self-love. They put themselves in these unfair positions where they want it all right away, and if they don't get it right away, then they're not happy, and it didn't work, and that's the end of it. And they never get to experience the wonderful benefits of something like exercise, whatever that exercise is. I'm not getting it into right now, but you'll never get the benefit if you don't give it the time to mature to a critical mass point. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Efficiency, critical mass. The name of today's show, Being on the Edge, How Healing Begins at the Critical Mass Point. Go find a show like that out there in cyberspace. You won't, because I ain't selling anything. I'm just asking you to wake up. Wake up, America. You know, we are self-indulgent. We have been. I don't think we can afford to be anymore. In a sense, our self-indulgence as a nation makes us all like a bunch of little brats. And we really have been a bunch of brats. A bunch of pretentious, sycophantic, self-indulgent, self-entitled brats. Our grandparents weren't like that, but we've been. And there's blowback going on right now because of it. We have a mindset in this country that's filled with what evolves out of too much self-indulgence. And you see this play itself out with the health game all the time. How, in the Lord's name, do you spend 40 or 50 years screwing yourself up? I mean, really screwing yourself up. Going borderline disease and then expect it to go away in a few months. And of course, we have the entire spectrum. Just listen to the people out there. We have an entire spectrum of media, herbal, holistic media telling us the miracle will happen. So the media feeds you and you're vulnerable. And collectively, after 50 years of doing things that are insane to your body, you're going to fix it all in a few months. So critical mass point, and that it takes time to get the system, your system, to efficiency. That time you're not willing to wait. You got to change that. Because the payoffs of evolving yourself on the edge, of evolving yourself on the edge of your health regimen, the payoff for evolving yourself on the edge in your health regimen is the endorphin. That's the critical mass point. That's when you didn't want to go to work, or you didn't want to work out, you didn't want to go to the Pilates class, you didn't want to go to the gym, you didn't want to go to the track, you didn't want to go into the ocean, you didn't want to go to the yoga class, you didn't want to hit the weights, you didn't want to swallow the olive oil, you didn't want to do whatever you do for your health, and you did it, but you've been through it so many times, you're on the other side of the temper tantrum. And then you get the payoff. You have the God experience. You feel good. You feel like your dreams will come true. And that's what you take to work. That's what you take to the freeways. That's what you take to the negotiation. That's what you take to conflict. The optimism that comes from your practice. Okay, end of show. Go out and return to your golf game if you understood what I'm talking about. If not, you have to stay here another 20 minutes, and then after that, another 30 or 40 minutes when I do part two. But if you really got it, you got it. That means you have multiple experiences of pushing yourself to your limit and feeling like you don't want to go there, and then leaping over the edge, sticking it out, having the endorphins explode in your body, and using that as leverage throughout the entire day. I ask you, do you have and know that experience within yourself? I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc. Each show's got a bunch of pictures. The pictures help. All right. A lot of people can't finesse the edge. So now we're going to get into another topic. Finessing the edge. A lot of people can't finesse the edge. What does that mean? It means you get turned onto some health regimen, some health practice, some health entity. Like you start jogging, you start lifting weights, you start yoga, you start Pilates, you start taking herbs, you start doing liver gallbladder flushes with the olive oil, kidney cleanses. You get turned on to some practice. Banya. You buy an infrared sauna and you heat it up to 160 and you go in for 20 minutes with clay on your body and then you dive into an ice-cold ocean sometime this December. You can join me for that one. You get into some kind of a health practice. Most people, as they finesse a practice in the interest of health, do one of two things. They don't push themselves to the edge, or they too disrespectfully exceed their edge and hurt themselves. That's what the mass percentages of people do, because they don't listen to their body. They don't know how to listen to their body. There's no real concept of listening to your body to bring yourself to the edge. Athletes kind of know it, but I'm talking real athletes. There are not too many real athletes. I'm talking about if you're not a professional athlete, you at least trained a good 20, 25 years of your life. From the time you were a kid, 5, 6 years old, into your 20s, you trained at something seriously. You know what the edge is. But most people don't. This is why sports is so important for kids. How many of them are really doing that today? Learning the edge is an evolution. I read a book on it and I went out and I did it. And you know, Charlie, it's right. It's really good if you push yourself to the edge. No, no, no. It means when you're lifting that weight, that another few pounds in your mind gives you a sense of anxiety and panic. Like you were bench pressing 160 and you put on 165 or 170 and you're sitting there underneath the weight and you're looking up at the barbells and you're alone and maybe that weight's going to fall on your head and crush your skull and no one's going to care. No one at LA Fitness or Equinox or 24 Hour Fitness or you're home alone in your personal gym. And if you lift that barbell up over the incline and it drops onto your throat, you're going to choke to death. And that 5 pounds extra that you put on that incline could do it. You're going to have a moment like that. You are. And that's when you kick back, you relax, and you feel yourself. And then you go for it. And 9 times out of 10, you're glad that you did. Because on the other side of that is euphoria. You did it. Now, there's always that guy in the same position that instead of putting an extra 5 pounds, he's going to put an extra 30. And because he saw Rocky last night, 1, 2, and 3, he's going to get up and he's going to put an extra 30 pounds on and he is going to crush his throat. How about you're at the track or on a hill or hiking up the side of a mountain? That Mount Everest thing, I've run into at least 3 people over 15 years that have had real serious damage going up Mount Everest. One guy had a bad stroke. Somebody else at a high, high altitude invited some weird infection into his body that he had 10 years later. And a third person had cancer. And it wasn't a cancer that would have stopped him from going up Mount Everest. And he wanted to do that his whole life, so he did. And he figured, okay, what the heck? I'm here. I'm doing it. And he pushed it too far. And, you know, cancer is an anaerobe. And in a low oxygen environment, what grows? The cancer. So the cancer exploded in his body. And he made it down, but he died shortly thereafter. He kind of didn't care. He wanted to die scaling Everest. Personally, I think that's cool. But there are always people that don't respect the edge. So there's being on the edge and accepting the fact and embracing the deep anxiety that comes with it. And then there's disrespecting it one of two ways. You either don't even approach it because you're scared. You're just petrified. You just live in fear. Or you disrespect it on the other side as per those examples, and then you end up hurting yourself severely. We're talking about the edge. That's the art. All the data is out there. We don't have problems with data acquisition. This is the crock of holistic health. You're going to scan the web and the YouTubes and find some guy that's going to deliver you the answer. You know, it's like Arnold says, there's no magic pill. That's entrapment. You're going to find all these guys that give you the answer, and you're going to listen to all of them and do all their little things. No. You're going to listen to everybody to accumulate data. That's smart. If you're listening to 15 different radio shows for health, or buying from 25 different companies all sorts of health gizmos, that inquiry is good. But then you have to put it together. Or you will not have success. That I'll stamp. Stamp, seal, you take it to the bank, they'll equate it with capital. That's written in stone. You have to integrate. Efficiency in a system comes from integration of findings or data. Systems evolve to critical mass by gathering data and then integrating it via trial and error. And that, for you, my friend, means listen to your body, which you do not know how to do to critical mass. Thus, healing is a journey. What a concept! It may take a year or two, or 3, or 4, or 5, to evolve off the abuse of 50 years of self-destruction. Self-hatred, self-destruction, poor lifestyle, relentless creative injury to your being, to your body, and then an environment that does nothing but support that destruction. And because you're in too much pain now, you want a one-week solution? What are you smoking? That's what people do. We got to get real on this, my friends. Because we are at critical mass in a multitude of ways. And one of them is we're not producing health to the point where we're efficient on any level. being on the edge is that momentary feeling like, I'm a little scared here. And then you relax yourself. You're going to take a few punches in a healing. It's normal to get punched in the face. It's normal to fail. You take a course. The course is hard. It's normal to fail. Normal. Get over it. You take a job. You're over your head. It's normal to get fired. It's normal. You take out a bank loan for a couple of $100,000, throw it into a business. The business fails. It's normal. Successful people know failure is normal. What was his name there? Mr. Google. No, Mr. Amazon. Bezos is his name? Bebos? I can't remember. He's an interesting guy to listen to. He was talking about the billions that Amazon has lost going up dark alleys. Steve Jobs builds his company, brings some CEO in from Coca-Cola, and gets thrown out of his own company. Tesla dies broke. Edison was ripped off. Edison was ripped off enormously. He could never handle the financial side. There's always some guy from the bank there with a smile when you have something to offer. When you have nothing to offer, that guy at the bank is your enemy. But he's your best friend, and he's got all the dough you need. And with that banker's a bunch of lawyers, and with those lawyers are a bunch of investment guys. And collectively, your creative force is about to get sucker punched. It happens to all these guys that way. But the ones like Bezos that succeed, like Steve Jobs, just become acquainted with it. Trump. Let's not get political. But Trump. Trump knows what it is to get punched. He'll tell you that. He was broke. He lost it all. And he came back. And look at what he just did. Like him or hate him. Doesn't matter. No one expected this. How does a guy do that? And then he gets in. And no one has anything nice to say. And like his agenda or not like his agenda, it's getting done. A lot of it's getting done with an enormous amount of adversity. Those people know what it is to fail. What the average Joe does when he reaches his edge, meets his edge, is he flips out, he loses his head, and he walks away. Or he says, I'm not going to walk away, I'm a man. And he rips his tendon out. In both cases, you lost. Being on the edge is like surfing. Great guy that can discourse on this is Laird Hamilton. He's one of those guys that surfed those, or used to surf, those huge waves. You're in the tube. You all know what the tube is, right? The curl of the wave. Just before it crashes, there's this hollow area. That's where those surfers find God. You're in the tube. On an 80, 90-foot wave that they had to helicopter you into. They had to pull you on the end of a rope tied to a helicopter into a wave in some foreign tropical place. And now you're in the tube. And before technologies were perfected, if you went down, you needed to hold your breath a good 4 minutes, or that's the end of you. And you're in the tube, and you're starting to lose your balance. My God. That's why Laird Hamilton is Laird Hamilton. That's living on the edge. You have an opportunity to do that every time you do a cleanse, you do a stretch, you exercise, whatever that exercise might be. There's more healing in finessing the edge than there is in all the YouTube videos and all the health radio shows and all the herbs and all the galaxies and all the universes. Next week, I'm doing another class. Maybe one or two. We don't really need any more people. But if you like the shows and you listen to them and you're really like on it, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007, call. We can always put you on the roof. No, we can always make a little more space. For those of you lost in limbo in the health thing, like you got problems with your health and you don't know how to get out, 714-850-1007. Call. My staff will get back to you. God bless you. In a half an hour, 40 minutes, the second part of this show will be up. Okay. Part two. Let us begin. Tying together some concepts. These concepts derive from the sciences. Well, they actually derive from natural philosophy, but the sciences, at least classically, were all revolving around words like critical mass and any analysis of any effective system, meaning efficient system, is always trending towards refining the system so that you put less in and you get more out. And we have to apply that to our health. Because when you get to the point where you're on the side of efficiency, the payoffs for making the time are enormous. I mean, not to get that and not to put that into practice is suicide. But, I mean, we're all human. And so what presents to us is, I don't have the time because I have to get these more important things done, and then I'll squeeze it in at the end. That is a society in decline. And we have to consider that. Because our Constitution didn't set about itself that way. We were not a society in decline when that Constitution was written. I mean the American Constitution. But we need translations into the everyday moment. And you have your grand opportunity each day when you put yourself on the edge. Now, let's get a little more specific here. Cleanses. You know all those people. You know all those people who won't do a cleanse because they might get hurt. They could get really sick. They are really sick. They're dying. But God forbid they should take an herb. Listen, I mean, what? Come on, stupidity. How dumb do you get? But there's a bit of that in all of us. And part of it's an intelligent thing. Proceed with caution, vigilance, diligence. Don't trust every snake oil salesman. You know, that used to be the objective in education, to give the graduates a sense of how to dive in and analyze truth in the data compiled. So being skeptical is not a bad thing. Being vigilant, proceeding with caution is not a bad thing, but that should never deny you the experience of the edge. So, with this mindset, you know, people, they crack me up. I'll talk like this, and then they'll say, okay, great, now that you talked, tell me what to do. Oh, I want to wring their necks. Tell me what to do? What you do is you think about what I just said. Okay, got it. That's the philosophy. Now tell me what to do. I got to get rid of this brain tumor. Oh, man. What there is to do is reflect more deeply upon the concepts being offered here. When you're in a cleanse, a kidney cleanse, take the name Schultz, Richard Schultz, herbdoc.com. He's got colon cleanses. He's got kidney cleanses. He's got liver cleanses. There's pancreatic enzyme cleanses. Cleanses, 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 cleanses. He does a good job of, he's like the cleanse guy. And my point to you is that you can get cleanses, do them. But the reason people don't do them, the reason they fail at them, is one of two things. They either do them so lightly they don't feel anything, or they do them too severely, and then they want to call 911. The edge is that place of discomfort, but it's comfortable discomfort. Can we wrap ourselves around comfortable discomfort? Good pain. They sound antiethical. They sound like oxymorons. They sound like contradictions in terms. But they're not. Good pain is a very real thing, and you athletes know good pain. You think it's going to kill you, and then you feel fantastic. Okay? That's the opposite of heroin. It feels fantastic, and then it kills you. So this is kind of a unique thing, good pain. Your moment in a cleanse has to bring you to good pain. You want to take a first step? Do a kidney cleanse.
What kidney cleanse should I do?
You know, there's a lot of them out there. Which one's the best? I want to make sure I get the details on this because, you know, one false move to the left and I'll explode. No, that's not my point. You're missing the point. Do anyone. Yes, get good ingredients. Schultz has good ingredients. Marshall has good ingredients. Everybody's got good ingredients. Get a reasonably good product, follow the instructions, do the cleanse. Now, my show begins teaching you how to navigate the cleanse. And the navigation is a matter of when you start to feel bad. That can mean three things. It can mean you're doing great because you're at the edge. It could mean you're doing too much. Too soon, too fast. And then the third possibility, in other words, you're feeling bad because you're feeling nothing. And that feels bad. So there's three ways to feel bad. Because nothing's happening. Because you're on your way to ER. Because you didn't listen to yourself. And because it feels bad, but it feels good. I can't give you an understanding of this. I can only tell you it's okay to feel bad, especially if out of it you feel good. And if you really don't know, eventually you will. How do I know in the moment whether I was on my way to ER feeling bad or I was really feeling good, but I thought I was feeling bad? You should proceed diligently if you're like that. And it's okay to be like that. If you're really not sure, back off a little. Back off a little and listen to your body. If you thought you were really going to get into trouble and you stopped and you backed off, so you're doing a water fast, you're doing a colon cleanse, you're doing a kidney cleanse, you took large dosages of pancreatic enzymes like people do at these clinics now to get super healthy and protect themselves against cancer. And you took lots of it and you're feeling bad. You gave up sugar and you're feeling bad. You gave up coffee and you're feeling bad. You gave up meat because you're a vegan now and you're feeling bad. if you're feeling bad and you're not sure if you're really feeling good or you're on your way to call 911, back off a little. Back off a little and see if you're alive the next day. I got news for you. You will be. And then try it again. Only maybe this time, stick it out. You'll learn your edge. You'll learn how to be on the edge. Nothing happens without stress. Nothing happens without suffering. But there's a difference between repetitive, cyclic, neurotic suffering that just keeps you spinning around in suffering, and the suffering that takes you to the other side of the suffering where the payoff is. Knowing the difference with the two is about living in the edge. Cleansing, stretching, in fact, your health regimen is just an exercise in being on the edge, which you then get the payoff for in the form of endorphin, and then you translate that into those rotten moments of your life. And all of a sudden, you've got the edge because you're living in the edge when you're talking to the local bank clerk. Right? Go to the bank. What does it feel like when you're at a bank? Doesn't it feel like disease, pestilence, plague, or a hospital? Doesn't that feel like death? That's where you're supposed to heal. That's where you're supposed to rejoice. That's where you're supposed to find God, in the hospital. But that instead is where people stew and sit in their disease. Right? You have to bring to the adversity of life the payoff for those inquiries into suffering. Running up a hill at 4 o'clock in the morning on a cold winter day with a weighted vest could bring about a certain degree of suffering. But then it feels so good. Or you tear your kneecaps apart. Or you get eaten by a mountain lion and no one's there to see you because it's 4 a.m. Or you dive off a cliff into the cold, icy blue waters of the Pacific on a cold winter day. And you have a heart attack and drown. Or a shark eats you. Or you dive into a rock that's submerged underneath sea level. There's lots of ways to push yourself to the edge. And if you do it right, because you have perspective, which means listen, move slowly, and get there gradually, the payoffs are profound. And you can hit the supercritical state. You can become a supercritical fluid. Yeah, picture number 3 on the site. If you keep increasing the pressure and the temperature, a solid will turn to a liquid. And eventually the liquid will turn to a gas. But then something really happens in the gaseous state, where no matter how much you increase the pressure, or no matter how much you increase the temperature, or no matter how much you decrease the volume, the forces of repulsion in the gas will prevent it from condensing. And suddenly, that gas will become what we call a supercritical fluid. We do this with carbon dioxide now. And it becomes a super solvent. It's an exciting area in science the last, I don't know, decade or two or one or... But it just shows how you play with the variables and pressure the system. Put pressure into the system and the system does something it doesn't normally do. And picture number three is a phase diagram of how to induce, of what's into, goes into inducing the supercritical state. The temperature, pressure, and volume at which this occurs, not volume, but the temperature and the pressure at which this occurs is called the critical pressure and the critical temperature. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to you. Now, from the standpoint of poetry, we can say, a diamond is a chunk of coal. Picture two. A diamond is a chunk of coal that did really well under pressure. Kissinger understood something about that. Henry Kissinger. Right? Negotiating under pressure. Then, of course, we have Patton. George Patton. Pressure makes diamonds. This concept is in the poetry of society. This concept is in the guts of physical chemistry, of thermodynamics. When Vivekananda points out the parallel between the yoga and what Tesla, who both had a dialogue with each other, Tesla and Vivekananda, they had dialogues at the turn of the century, 1900. They saw eye to eye. Physics has always been equated with mysticism. You know, the biochemists, they're generally atheists, and I don't say that across the board because it's not true, but biochemistry doesn't bring you to God. Physics does. Biochemistry is a macroscopic science, right? It wouldn't admit to that. Genetics? What, are you kidding me? Genetics is about as macroscopic. Molecular bio, it's about as macroscopic as it's going to get. You're not going to learn anything now. You have to come into those sciences with a soul fully intact. But you see, physics leads you there. It's the Western way of quantifying the ethers. And that's where the yogics live. So Einstein, Tesla, Maxwell, Faraday, these guys were all floating up there in the heavens. Edison. And that's where the swamis are. This is where our society's going. The problem with nutrition today, the problem with how you approach your health today, is you're just given an alternate macroscopic view of it, meaning instead of drugs, it's herbs. It's the same stupid formula with the herbs. Oh, this guy's not into herbs. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Look, my regular audience, I don't have to say this to you, but people float in and out of this site here. They float in and out of the show. Oh, he's not into herbs. I've got to stop and take note of that. There are standards that we have to hold ourselves accountable to in a gentle way. And one of them is to use your head. Okay, everyone can understand what I'm talking about. I get tongue-in-cheek because we approach our health and suffer like dumb animals unnecessarily because we have lousy attitudes that we persist in an arrogant way. That is why we fail. Now, Hans Selye, try picture nine. Every stress leaves an indelible scar, and the organism pays for its survival after a stressful situation by becoming a little older. Okay, Selye is talking about stress in the way, classically speaking, he's known for. But then he also writes a book, Picture 17, Hans Selye's Stress Without Distress. How to Use Stress as a Positive Force to Achieve a Rewarding Lifestyle. Hey, Hans Selye knows more about stress than any other scientist alive. Alvin Toffler, author of Future Shock. Remember Toffler? Does anyone remember Toffler? I met his daughter. She was gorgeous. She was a knockout. I met her when I was 20. I was tending bar up on the Upper East Side. And putting myself under a lot of stress, mind you. I didn't know what I was doing, but it was $300 to $500 a night in the early 80s, which for me was a lot of dough. I was, I don't know, 20 years old, and I lied. But somebody did me a favor. I got this job. It's in the Upper East Side, Manhattan, up in the high 80s, in 1st, 2nd Avenue. And I'm, you know, doing what you do as a bartender, and there's this gorgeous blonde-haired woman, not a lot older than me, and somebody says, you know, she's Alvin Toffler's daughter. Now, I just happened to know who Alvin Toffler was because my dad would buy his books and I would go and pull the books off the rack. And I knew the name. And back then, this is like the early 80s, Alvin Toffler was, I mean, if he endorsed you, you were somebody. I mean, Hans Selye could just, he could pound sand the rest of his life. One endorsement by an intellectual like Alvin Toffler, very brilliant guy, heavily rooted in the intelligentsia. You know, the Harvard, Yale, that kind of thing. And Toffler gives you an endorsement. So, look, Selye writes this book, Stress Without Distress. Alvin Toffler, author of Future Shock. Yes, this is the whole point. You can't heal. You have emphysema, push your butt up a hill. You've got joint problems, swim. You've got autoimmune disease, rheumatoid arthritis, and you got problems, get out there and stress the body. It will never regenerate new cells without stress. But you tell that to somebody and they look at you like, are you nuts? I'm a cripple. I got multiple sclerosis. I'm 30 seconds from a wheelchair. And you're telling me to throw myself into a pool? I'll drown. Yes, I am. I'm telling you to throw yourself into a pool. I'm telling you to change your attitude. I'm telling you to get educated. I'm telling you to understand that stress without distress is the basis through which the body regenerates. You're not going to get stem cells to dying sites without stressing the body. Amen. End of conversation. Good night. And Alvin Toffler endorses it. That's what Selye is talking about. But you don't know if it's good stress or bad stress, so back off. You're stretching. Are you at your edge? Push a little more. But now are you at your edge? Well, push a little more. Yeah, but if I do that, I might rip off my tendons. Well, just give it a tug and see what happens. Oh, I did, and it feels like I'm going to rip my tendon out. Don't do it. But how did I know that you knew? Because you did it a little bit, and you concluded you needed to back off. You see? It's called an reversible reaction. It's called a reversible reaction. In physical chemistry and science, we have reactions that are reversible and irreversible. And so we talk about a reversible reaction by only stressing the system in infinitesimal amounts. And that way, we stress it so minimally that if we have to go backwards, we can. You do minimal amounts of work. And in that minimalism, you still allow the possibility of reversibility. That's what a healing is. You know, it's a theoretical concept in Western science, in the reality of the biophysics of the body. It's not a theoretical concept. It's exactly how you forge ahead. You do it reversibly. Look it up. Reversible versus irreversible reactions. There's no difference between science and the ethers unless you don't get either one of them. Then there's a difference. Then there's a marked distinction. There's a reason Boltzmann, you know Boltzmann? The Boltzmann constant? You don't if you haven't gotten into that stuff, but Boltzmann was a genius. Blew his brains out. I think he hung himself. He committed suicide in northern, at some beautiful location up in northern Italy. If you take a look at him, you'll know why he whacked himself. I mean, he had so much going on, this guy. Genius. Absolute genius. These guys were all in the ethers. Faraday, Maxwell. And they all know what a reversible and irreversible equation is, or reaction. You have to move incrementally. The edge is really a derivative and an integral. You don't cross the edge like there's a line. There is no line. Honestly, it's like if you ever watch a ghost walk through a wall, like, you know, on the movies. Topper. Remember Topper? If you're 90 years old and listening to the show, you're laughing. You remember Topper. Casper the Friendly Ghost. Poltergeist. When you watch a ghost go through a wall in a science fiction movie, as it hits the wall and starts going through it, that's how you're supposed to approach the edge. There's no line at any given time separating the ghost from the wall. It means go slow and listen. Go slow and relax. You have to approach your sense of how much olive oil to take, how far to stretch, how much weight to do, how much deeper should I go or further, how much colder can the water get, how much hotter can the sauna get. How much more can I demand of my environment so that it suits me without collapsing the whole thing? And when you finesse that edge correctly, man, boy, you're going to be happy. You're going to be so happy. But it's all stress. It feels stressful, but it's got to feel good stress. Not bad stress. It's just an encapsulation. Good stress, bad stress. It's an encapsulation. It's a product of being in that appropriate zone where the endorphin is born. Okay. Well, if you've wandered onto the website, as many do, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Not selling any gizmos on this show here. I would if it could get you where you needed to go. I really would. I'd have 10 herbal companies now. I really would. I'd be pulling herbs in from all over the world if I ever saw it make the difference. And I never did without the right context. We're not missing the good herbs. We're not missing the data. We're not missing the cleanses. We're missing perspective. This 1 hour has been about perspective. As I said, I'm going to do my class, what is it, Sunday, October 7th. I've got another class. It's filled, but I want to leave it open to a few people. So if you want the real thing, 714-850-1007, just call, speak to my staff. They're in Monday. Someone will get back fast if they don't pick up. Anybody else, you're in the I'm lost phase with a problem? 714-850-1007. Make the appointment. Don't ask a lot of questions and this and that. We are not interested. Just do it. If the show connects to you, go with your gut. If you can afford it, come in, sit down, you listen, you stay open. I get you to where you want to go. How's that? God bless you all. This has been a pleasure. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.